Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
See him on KTVU Channel 2 Anchor and Reporter. He's also the voice, Stanford Play-by-Play on Twitter, at Stanford Voice. Scott, how are you?
Oh, I was okay until I heard you refer to 33 as old, and then I almost hung up. But, yeah, it's all good, man.
You know what I think, Scott? I think once you turn 29, it's over. Like, being young is over. That's when I felt old. I used to go out like 3 times a week. I'm lucky if I go out 3 times a year. So I'm not saying that you're old, any more old than me, Scott. But I think that once 29 passes, arrivederci. Like, your youth is gone.
It's all downhill, but it's a lovely ride.
let's start with that national championship game. As somebody that was probably tired of Alabama, having Alabama fatigue, if you will. I was rooting for Clemson, and I'm wondering how high, as a very much college football expert, how high do you have that game? A lot of people talked about the Texas-USC game or even the game last year between the same two teams. Where'd you have that, Scott?
It's up there. The first three that come to my mind are the other two, in addition to that game, are the Texas-SC game and the USC-Penn State game days before. Rose Bowl this year was also one of the best I've ever seen. So, I think we all suffer from the recency bias. You know, the ones we just saw are always the best. And, we tend to forget about this, unbelievable Cotton Bowl from, 1983 that somebody might have thought back then, whatever it was. But those three are the first ones that come to mind. They were all classics, and what a great way to end the college football season.
Yeah, prisoner of the moment, right? The only problem with the game was how long it lasted, but we could talk about that off air because I'm sure nobody cares about that. What did you make? I know you are a Stanford guy. I'm a Cal guy. Like I said earlier in the show, this is like Romeo and Juliet, the Capulets and the whatever. I wasn't really good in the English department, but you know where I'm going. Justin Wilcox announces the new head coach of Cal football. What'd you make of that? And what'd you think about the fact that, Chip Kelly wasn't even somebody that they even interviewed or looked into?
Yeah, I'm only mildly surprised. I didn't think Chip Kelly was necessarily the best fit, even though when you first heard it and you heard the timing of it, you thought, oh wow, they're waiting for Chip to get fired. And now, but then when you really think about it, if you're Chip Kelly, you can either jump on the Cal job right now if they have interest, and there are some there's some issues with that. I mean, you got the Cal's and the newfound commitment to academics, and 80% of the guys have to have a 3.0, and I think that might make Chip Kelly think twice. It's a little harder to litter your roster with DeAnthony Thomas three deep at every position when you got to worry about that stuff. And the other thing with Chip is, you could either take the one job that's here in front of you, or you can sit on your butt, collect a full paycheck for a year, and then probably have your pick of jobs. I mean, he may have 4, 5, 6 options next year. So I don't think it's all that surprising. And I think, Cal hired a really good defensive coordinator. I have no idea whether he has the charisma, the intangibles, the recruiting, everything that it takes to be a great head coach. I have no idea, but he is a terrific defensive coordinator. And if you're Cal and you're a Cal fan, you're awfully tired of watching that defense the last 5 years. So I think it's probably refreshing.
Scott Reese, Stanford Play-by-Play, KTVU anchor reporter. Good enough to join me, Zachariah Solo Dolo, here on 95.7 The Game. One more college football question, because, there are people in the Bay Area that love college football. Unfortunately, it's just not a ton. So I like to get as much as I can in with you. Let's talk about the Stanford program. David Shaw, a name that pops up often with NFL head coaching vacancies, and a guy who continued what Jim Harbaugh had done before him. A down year this year, but overall, what is the vibe over there in Stanford when it comes to where he's at, where the program is at? Is all well, or is there a cause for concern?
all is well, man. I mean, all is so well. Yeah, the fan base, I think there was some frustration middle of the season with an offense that was sputtering a little bit, but big picture, I mean, are you kidding me? When you're 10-3 and you finish 12th in the country and it's a down year, I think things are going okay with the program, right? I mean, yeah. You know, he's 64-17 in 6 years. 64-17.
Oof.
I mean, so David Shaw is one of the preeminent coaches in America. I love the fact that he's committed to Stanford. He's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future. This next recruiting class, if all goes according to plan and the way things are shaking out with the verbal commits, it's going to be an unbelievable. It may be the best class quality-wise, small in quantity, but quality-wise, maybe the best class Stanford's ever had. So,
okay.
I mean, you're talking about a program that's absolutely rolling. They got to answer the quarterback question now with Chris and the injury, and you know, we don't know how that's going to play out in terms of, you know, the immediate future. But big picture, man, the fans are thrilled. The program's in great shape.
Okay, I said last question, I lied. You don't think that he's going to leave for an NFL job, even if it was an incredibly great possibility?
I love this because I get it every year, and I answer the same way every year. He might leave someday for an NFL job, but it's not going to be anytime soon.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on. Let's do Bay Area sports. Again, he's a KTVU reporter, so he can talk everything. I can go any Bay Area subject that I want to. Let me start with the poll question that I threw out there. Did the Raiders pick the right coordinator to well, I guess he wasn't technically fired. I got killed on the text line because you know how that is on the text line. As you've done radio shows here yourself, Scott. He was not fired, Bill Musgrave, but his contract was up. They did not renew it. They end up promoting Downing, who was the quarterback's coach. Did they get the right coordinator right? Because there's a lot of talk about personnel versus scheme. And, you know, Dale Norton did not have the personnel. Musgrave did. And while Musgrave was seventh in the league in offense, perhaps they could have been better.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, and I think the bottom line is that they love Todd Downing. They wanted to keep him. He had offers to go elsewhere, and I think they very possibly might have lost him if he did. And so it wasn't so much that, well, Musgrave had to go. It was a question of, well, who do you want, you know, long-term? Do you want Downing or do you want Musgrave? And obviously they made their choice. And again, when you're talking about coordinators being fired and coaches staying put, you know, I think a lot of it is personality and you know, how well do they mesh and how much do they clash, and we obviously have no idea whether any of that went into it. You know, Jack Del Rio is a defensive guy. I respect his defensive acumen, and Ken Norton certainly is enough of a defensive resume as a player. So, I mean, I have a hard time questioning the decision not to fire Norton. I really, if they think that he's the guy, I'm okay with that, even though the defense obviously struggled. And it did get better later in the year. And, you know, I think that they still are working personnel-wise. I think that's a big deal. They're working on it. But the offensive situation, I mean, that's how I read it anyway, is just, you know, you had to choose A or B because one of them was going to go, and they decided that Downing was the guy they wanted to pitch their wagon to.
Do you want to do two quick answers for two questions or one long answer for one question? I'm gonna give you the choice.
Wow. All right. Give me the one long answer. I don't know. In case I talk too much, then you won't cut me off.
No, I wouldn't do that anyway. We can go over. I don't care. It's the weekend, Scott. You know how that works. I'll be fine either way.
Everybody's watching football anyway. Let's be honest.
That's true. Well, I was going to ask you a Niners question and a Warriors question, but since you chose the longer answer, I'll just go with the Warriors game. Tomorrow, MLK, showdown with the Cavs. They only meet twice a year. The Cavs have beaten them the last four times, three of which had the championship on the line. The other one was a big-time blowout in Cleveland. Now they're at Oracle. Is this a game that you think the result could have an effect on the finals, or is it just a regular season game?
I don't know about the result having effect on the finals, but I think that the way this game plays out could have an effect on the finals. Obviously, if we're making the assumption that the finals involves the Warriors and the Cavs, I think that, you know, the Warriors probably are in a position, and I never thought I would say this, you know, given the makeup of this team, but I think they kind of need to show. I mean, even if they, I mean, if they don't win the game and something happens in the, you know, if it goes down to the wire and they lose it on something fluky or there's a bad call or whatever, that I think we can live with. But they need to walk away saying they were the better team in this game, you know, whether that translates to a win or not, because they haven't necessarily been the better team against Cleveland in these last, you know, as you mentioned, three or four meetings. And at some point, that has to matter, right? I mean, it has to get in your head a little bit. It certainly gives the Cavs, you know, confidence upon confidence, right? Now they add Kyle Korver, they add another piece. So I think it matters. I think the Warriors need to walk away, not necessarily a scoreboard, but they need to walk away saying, okay, from what we just did, we are reassured that we are the better team, because I'm not sure that they believe that right now. Well, they probably believe it, but I'm not sure that necessarily is the case right now based on what we've seen.
All right, you give a medium answer, so I'm going to sneak in. I'm going to sneak in one more about the Niners, the GM search and the coaching search. Are you okay with the length of time that it's taken? Does that prove to be being patient and making the right decision, or does it show that maybe they don't know what the hell they're doing?
I think it could be either. You know, I mean, here's the one thing. If I'm a Niner fan, the one thing I cling to is you can look at this as the glass half empty and say, well, look at all these great candidates that are coming off the board because you sat around and you waited. But you could also look at this and say, all right, well, all these other teams are filling their holes, and meanwhile, the best teams in the NFL are still playing.
McDaniels,
right?
So, and Shanahan,
exactly,
I'm fine with on the coaching front, but Scott,
right,
the GM front,
yeah, and that's concerning.
Yeah, okay.
And for me, the concerning part from the get go with this was Jed's insistence that, well, we don't necessarily need to hire a GM first; we might hire a coach.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
Who says that, Scott?
I mean, you can't. You've
got to know that before.
So that is the concerning part. So, I mean, they may still, I don't want to say back into, they may still wind up with the correct coach, but the GM thing is a little disconcerting. And, again, I think that there are certain organizations in certain situations where you would look at and say, you know what, they've earned the benefit of the doubt, so let's give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think this is one of those situations.
We've done shows together. I don't know that we've ever been completely aligned thinking-wise than about this Niners thing, because I'm completely with you. The coaching part is totally fine. The GM part concerns me, and you have to question the people making the decisions above that.
Exactly.
And the most disconcerting thing is Jed York coming out saying, "Oh, the head coach could hire the GM. The GM could hire the." I mean, that's just you can't say that.
That's not how it works.
No, it's not. Check him out, Stanford play-by-play, KTVU anchor reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Stanford Voice. Scott, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the night game and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Sounds good, Zach. Thanks, man.
There you go. Scott Reese. Great stuff from him. Hey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.